Saturday Meditation, December 19th, 2009. The question this evening, Quo, has to do with the seeker. As the seeker attempts to become the magician and change his or her consciousness at will, over a period of time, an incarnation, and maintain the mental, emotional, spiritual, physical balance in so doing. Ross suggested that looking at the path of the seeker as the magician was correct in seeing it as the ability to create changes in consciousness at will, and this placed a burden upon the seeker, upon the magician. We're guessing that burden is the responsibility to use the increased consciousness in a service to others fashion. Could you tell us if this is correct, and could you talk to us about the balance that is either achieved or not achieved, and when not achieved may result in some need for counseling, therapy, to re-achieve or reacquire that balance. Could you talk to us about balance, creating changes in consciousness at will, and what this means to the seeker?
We are those known to you as the principle of Akuo. We greet you in the love and in the light of one infinite Creator, in whose service we come to you this evening. It is a privilege to be called to your circle of seeking. And we are most humbly grateful to share our thoughts with you on the question of balance and will, and how those concepts may help the seeker. Before we begin, however, as always, we would request of each of you who hears or reads these words that you listen carefully for your truth, not anyone else's truth, not our truth, but your truth, the truth that you feel when you resonate to an idea. Wait for the resonance, dear ones. And when you hear those thoughts that do resonate, by all means, we offer them for you to discuss in your own mind and with others. We offer them as those resources with which you may work. As you feel your way along your spiritual path, step by step, thought by thought, and concept by concept. If you will do this, my friend, leaving any thought that does not resonate to you behind, then we shall be able to share our humble thoughts with you, having no fear that we will interfere with your free will or the free play of your intuition and intellect and all the powers of your being. As you move through the cycles of your spiritual evolution, we thank you greatly for this consideration. The query you have for us this evening is one which is rich and full of nuance. And in order to begin to discuss the question of balance for those who seek the One, We would, as we often do, take a step or two back to gaze at the environment in which the seeker does its work within your third density earth world. Your density is called the density of choice. And it is a heavily polarized environment. On the physical level, you have light and darkness. On the spiritual level, you have love and fear. On the mental level, you have all of the opposites that the intellect may generate. And of those, my friends, there is no end. So here you are, within this very polarized environment in which, as a spiritual seeker, the questions of morality and spirituality are paramount. What is service? What is service to others? What is service to self? What is radiance? What is contraction? What is the nature of you as a soul embedded inextricably in flesh? Yes, you are flesh, and yes, you are spirit. How can that be? Is there a dichotomy betwixt flesh and spirit? Is this incarnation that time and that place in which you discover that there is no dichotomy betwixt your flesh and your spirit? As you move deeper into the considerations of spiritual seeking, you find your awareness of yourself blooming like a flower. You begin to feel the power of being yourself, of consoling, of loving, of supporting, of sustaining. You begin to see that at choice points all along the way. You can take each choice point in so many different ways, depending upon what you want, what you desire, and what you will. If you desire to be consoled, what are the ramifications of that choice? Using the pairing of opposites of the one known as Francis. If you desire to be loved, what are the natural ramifications of that choice? These are some of the most spiritually central considerations. Therefore, we recite to you this instrument's imperfect memory of that powerful prayer. Make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. Where there is darkness, light. Help me to seek not to be loved, but to love. Not to be consoled, but to console. Not to be pardoned, but to pardon. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we rise to larger life. You may see, my friends, that we do not yet speak precisely of balance. We are attempting to draw the picture of the spiritual environment of this particular density of joys in which you now enjoy incarnation. Why did you come here? For you did come by choice, my friends. There is a long line of those who wish to be present at this time within the harvest of the third density of planet Earth. You achieved your place in this school of souls by the seniority of your vibration. You earned your right to come into this place that could be heaven or could be hell, as the one known as Freddy sang before this channeling session of working began. You may count it as a signal blessing, my friend, that you have earned your way into this environment. For you, unlike those who are within the inner planes of your planet or in other densities, you have the right, the position and the entitlement to choose what you will and to will what you choose. This brings us to the discussion of that definition of the magical personality as one which creates changes in consciousness at will. Anyone who has taken care of an infant or a toddler is fully aware of the power of one entity's will. that infant in your arms may be tiny. It may have no power to use its limbs and no power to voice its desires, but it has a will. At the age of 1 or 2, the choices that that entity meets are relatively simple. The use of the will is that which is the only tool or resource the infant has to attain its needs. And so it cries with all of its will, "Food! Change me! Hold me!" And in many ways, that cry never ceases. It becomes more complex, more sophisticated, more many-layered. But there is within each of you, and certainly within each of us as well, a will. That will is part of your nature as a human being and as a part of the Godhead principle. When entities say, we correct this instrument, when entities say, "Thy will be done," they may not consider whether or not they know the will of the Creator. But it is a central point to consider if one wishes to do the will of the Infinite One, that he may find ways to understand, grasp, and contain that will. The questioner suggested that perhaps the use of the ability to create changes in consciousness is to become more service to others oriented. And in a way, this is so. Yet it is not broadly enough stated to be accurate. For as a part of the Godhead principle, you are not the knee of the Creator or the eyelash of the Creator. You are the Creator, stepped down through many dimensions of time and space. Yet you are a hologram of the Creator. How do you know the will of the Creator? By moving into the depths of yourself. For there lies the One, infinite Creator, with no iota missing. You are very young and inexperienced creators. And your will is the will of the Creator. Therefore, you must ask yourself, what kind of creator do you wish to be? What kind of creation do you wish to create? each of you in this room chose long ago to follow the path of service to others, the path of positive polarity. And it would seem, on the surface of it, that that choice moves you from perfect balance into an unbalanced desire to serve others. Yet the earthly meaning of the word balance is not the same as the spiritual meaning of the word balance. Let us look at this in more detail. You are flesh and you are spirit, inextricably intertwined for the duration of this incarnation. Every breath that you take, every beat of your heart, is that which exists in the earth world of space-time and in the metaphysical world of time-space. And your breath and your heartbeat mean as much in time-space as they do in space-time. You are not flesh battling with spirit. You are a spirit which has taken flesh in order to serve, in order to learn. These two goals are with you throughout your incarnation. Ensouled in flesh, you belong to the world which flesh has created over thousands of years. You belong to the environment which has ripened and matured through empire upon empire, kingdom upon kingdom, nation state upon nation state, working in so many ways, in so many seemingly chaotic ways, towards the culmination of the age and the harvest of learning, of awareness, of knowing, that has been growing within you through many incarnations, and with every other human being in the earth world for as many incarnations. You carry within you a flame that burns true and bright in any and all circumstances of life. You brought that flame with you when you moved as an energy body into the physical, and connected yourself by that which this instrument calls the silver cord to the spinal, the nerve cord of your physical body. And that fire shall continue to burn brightly and truly in that heartbeat when there is no more heartbeat, when the physical is dropped and you move on without a single latch consciousness on your way to your next great adventure. What is that flame? My friends, we would call it your will. You have great power. And as the one known as Rumi said, power can be frittered away by being multiplied and distracted and moved about in many, many interests all of the time. It can be wasted by an entity's dislike of his shadow side. It can be forgotten as an entity identifies itself as a victim. And it can be turned as the Star Wars movies often say, to the dark side by fear. So what is balance to one who has a will? Anyone who has ridden a horse or a motorcycle is aware of the principle of balance being not only your balance, but the balance of the animal beneath you or the machine beneath you and the conditions of the road. It is not a static thing. It is freely flowing and always developing and changing. And when you, as a seeker, awaken to the extent of your personal power, when you press your will upon the universe, you become aware, perhaps for the first time, of the burden you shall bear. For if you know that you are a person of power, then you have the burden of using your power aright. And again, we are not saying using your power as someone has told you you should use it. We are not saying using your power as we or any source outside of your own heart say to use it. You are undertaking the profound responsibility and burden of knowing what your will is. The question of balance, then, for the spiritual seeker, is a question of how to maintain your body, your mind, and your spirit within this schoolroom of earth in such a way that you shall have the most spacious and accurate workroom within which you may hear and feel and see who you really are, and therefore what your will really is. Your balance will not be like anyone else's balance. For to a spiritual seeker, balance is fundamentally that estate which is achieved when each of the chakras of your energy body lie open, so that each chakra may accept and allow through the chakra the full power of the love and the light of one infinite creator, which streams infinitely and eternally from the Logos. That Logos has spoken its love, its nature, and its will in creating each of you and the environments in which you experience life. That Logos has given you a fully functional fully capable and competent body of soul and flesh in which to pursue your seeking. And that energy body, in order to give you the best environment in which to learn about yourself and to learn about your own will, finally to learn about the right use of will, is balanced when it is open and allowing the energy of the One to flow through it and into the opened and fearless heart. We cannot tell you what will decrease distortion within each of your chakras. We cannot tell you the appropriate attitude towards sexuality, towards relationships, towards marriage, towards anything. We can only tell you that you have every right and every ability to investigate for yourself where your balance lies in red ray, in orange ray, in yellow ray. These first three chakras are tremendously important in creating a balance within you that allows you to know your own heart. And we say to you now that it is not necessary to become a magical personality in order to graduate with flying colors in this harvest of earth. You need only to open your heart and to choose how to serve the self or to serve others. And then having made that choice, to persist in that direction, becoming more and more polarized. Since each of you here has already made the choice of service to others, we say to you, if you can be fearless with your sexuality, if you can be fearless in a seemingly chaotic and dark world, sensing the rightness of your being here, if you can come to your own understanding of what relationships are to you and where the love is in them that will balance you and the other, then you can come into your open heart with the full power of the Logos flowing through you. And as you make choice after choice to love and to be loved in a positive and radiant fashion, you ready yourself for graduation. And there is no doubt that one whose heart is open and whose path is service to others shall graduate. But my friends, each of you wants more than the open heart. Each of you wants to move higher and to pull down inspiration and information from through the gateway of intelligent infinity. In other words, each of you wishes to become a magician, if you will. One who has the ability to create changes in consciousness at will. So the rich, fertile questions for you each day and each moment have to do with, is this moment one in which you wish to change consciousness? And if so, how shall you apply your will? This instrument is reminded of going to a restaurant. And there was no place at the restaurant for the car to park in which the instrument rode. And so the driver drove around again, and as the driver came back to the first parking place, the closest parking place to the restaurant, the previous automobile with its burden of humans with full tummies left, and the car in which the instrument was riding slid right into that parking place. And the instrument thought to herself, have I used my will rightly in praying for this parking place? How unspiritual a thing to pray for. Yet what shall you pray for? What shall you will? What circumstances will excite your will? For you are here legitimately with entitlement to choose what you will, to fulfill the desires you wish to fulfill. And you are here to fulfill each and every desire until you are satisfied that you have gleaned everything from this environment that you can. Thus, we sit in each of your open hearts with you as we tabernacle together with the one infinite creator. And we ask with each of you, shall you become the magician? Shall you take on that burden of responsibility, knowing that your will is the will of one creator, knowing that you, by your will, shall create the creation in which you will live? If you do wish to do so, there are many, many entities here to help you with that. There are orders upon orders of the angelic hosts who move into the orbit, shall we say, of those humans who have chosen to become magical and who have chosen to vibrate in ways that are congruent with that particular order of angel. So whether you wish to heal, to teach, to create in the outer ways of poetry and music, dance, or whether, as is the highest of those higher rays, goals, you wish to create a self-aware beingness so that you can be in all situations, not only when you are quiet, but when you are busy and when the world about you is chaotic. Many, many are the angelic presences that wish to aid you in smoothing out and making more stable those environments, those vibratory environments in which lie radiance of being, channeling, teaching, dancing, singing, healing. And loosen yourself, as you choose to be a magician, from the literal meaning of these descriptive words, healing, teaching, dancing, singing. For one parent is all of these to her child, the dancer, the singer, the teacher, and the one whose radiance of being creates the atmosphere that keeps that child safe, happy, and open for new experiences. Do not be fooled by what things look like in the outer world, for not all teachers teach. Not all dancers dance, and not all singers sing. Only you know what kind of magician you want to be. Only you know how you wish to proceed in developing your magical personality. What each of you has in common is consciousness. And that consciousness that each of you shares is the consciousness of the one infinite creator, the Logos, the original thought. And what is that thought? But unconditional love. We are those at Uhua. And at this time, although there are many, many more directions in which we may take this discussion without at all exhausting the richness of the question. We would at this time pause and ask if there is a follow-up to this query, or if there are other queries in this group. We are those of Akua.
I have a follow-up question, Quo. At one point, you observed that wanderers often have personality disorders. In another place, you mentioned that post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, is largely a spiritual disease, is a blowing out of part or all of the entity's electrical or chakra system. I'm curious whether personality disorders are also spiritual diseases for the same reason, and if it is an adaptive mechanism by wanderers to enter into the social consciousness of Earth. Can you comment on these notions and expand on any of them from a spiritual perspective?
We are those that look cool and are aware of your queries about that. We thank you for asking. It would not be precisely accurate to say that wanderers would choose to adapt to the earth environment by choosing consciously to have energy imbalances or difficulties within the energy body that would cause the so-called medical doctors of your world to create diagnoses of mental illness. We would say, however, that each and every wanderer, insofar as he remembers what this instrument would call better times, is more vulnerable than an entity which is purely of third density in its antecedents to finding it very difficult to handle some of the more seemingly chaotic and dangerous energies that swirl and eddy about third density as it is experienced from the outside in. Especially at this time of the shift consciousness from third to fourth density, you have a substantial harvest of those who have chosen the service to self path. And in pursuing their clarity and their graduation in the negative sense, they are creating huge amounts of chaotic energies with the hope of causing fear and the lessening of the awareness of personal power in all entities except the self. This is so that the energies of others can be harvested to the self, making the self more powerful. It is not strictly a service to others' environment. It is most decidedly a very polarized environment, and as a result, we'll find that the pain of experiencing either physically or emotionally some of these angry warlike and predatory energies can indeed create those personality disorders, so-called. We are saying, my brother, that it is not a strategy that causes entities from higher densities to experience personality disorders, so-called. Rather, it is honest, spontaneous, and heartfelt distaste and revulsion and a refusal to allow those energies to touch the self that then objectify those energies as thought forms. Because of the fact that to that particular entity experiencing that particular distortion of anger or predation or whatever negative essence or energy has entered into the environment, the best defense mechanism for that entity is to attempt to build walls around those holes that have been made in the energy body. May we answer you further, my brother? We are those of the cool.
No, thank you, Quill. That was very helpful. Quill, I do have another question. May I proceed now?
We are those of Quill, and we dearly hope that you will, my brother.
On a different topic, Quill, can you discuss the spiritual principles involved in the massive extinctions of plant and animal life which are accompanying the Earth's movement in the fourth density?
We are those at the cool and are aware of the clearing of that. My brother, the answer to that query is twofold. Firstly, and there is a steady arising and falling away of species within the biota of your earth world according to the progression of the energies of the density. The essence of consciousness is curious and creative. And whenever a species comes into its specieshood, even in the full bloom of that pure specieshood, the tendency of consciousness to be creative continues so that there are variations, and then those variations have variations, and so forth. And this is endlessly balanced by such parameters as food, a safe place to live and produce young, that very basic physical environment which calls for life and then calls it into variety. Consequently, you would find if you could move back into that place where timelessness and first density gave way to time, that literally millions of species have arisen and fallen away in the natural rhythm of the procession of subdensities. The first of third density, the second subdensity of third density, and so forth, into now. Have you experienced the seventh subdensity of third density? Therefore, some of those species that have passed into extinction have done so in ways that are entirely in accord with the balance of creation. Secondly, those humans who have flourished upon third density earth and who began as part of the dance of life have forsaken the concept of stewardship and have replaced it with a concept of predation. When a kingdom is put into the power of a steward looks at each part of his realm and finds ways to support and encourage and sustain it. There is that feeling of being a shepherd of the sheep, not greater than the sheep, but the servant of the sheep. Your peoples for many, many generations have had the unfortunate tendency, and we say unfortunate because it is sorrowful both to your soul and to the soul of earth itself, to see the self as the predator, the conqueror, not considering the realm as a whole or how the parts might fit together, but considering only short-term goals. I want water here, therefore we shall dam up the water to create water here where there was not water before. Does it come into the mind of the predator what that damming up of a natural resource will do to Mother Earth, who had a balanced aquifer system? No. For that is not a concern to one who has separated itself from Mother Earth. Consequently, there is also a substantial risk of species that have declined and become extinct because of the lack of stewardship and the sense of predation on the part of the humans to whom Mother Earth was entrusted. We would encourage you, as you think in this regard, to focus not upon the details of one species becoming extinct, but upon the energies which you radiate personally. We have an example from this instrument's memory my brother a story told about a catastrophe of nature in which thousands of starfish were thrown upon the shore where they were soon to die. And one person waded out into that beach and started throwing starfish back in the water. And a scoffer said unto this entity, "Why in the world are you doing this? You can't possibly save all the starfish." And the entity picked up a starfish and tossed it into the water and said, "Yes, but I can save this one." Therefore, turn your sorrow and your concern from gazing at that which has occurred outside of your ken, outside, shall we say, of your will, and come gently, lightly, in your own good time, to find your way of being the love and the light, not just for all starfish, but for this one. It is a matter of great skill to make such choices of how to move concern into responsive, energetic actions which truly lift and serve you and the world about you. And we assure you that as you lift your own eyes to the light, you lift all of planet Earth to that light. May we ask if there is a final query at this time? We are those of Kua.
I could ask another question, Kua and everybody else here. Kua, if I may go back to the topic of personality disorder, so-called, I'm curious if you could talk more about personality disorders as a way to patch an energy hole. That sounded to me like something you observed about post-traumatic stress disorder, where you called that a spiritual disease because it was an alteration of a blowing out of part of the chakra system. And this sounds like it too. And so I'm just curious if it would be appropriate to know more about patching that hole and how that works.
We are those of Akua and are aware of your query, my brother. And although it is difficult to use your language to describe that which is not physical, for language is about the physical to a great extent, we can suggest that the healing of energy disorders as opposed to physical disorders takes place by those who heal with light. Now, each of you has light streaming from your fingertips, from your lips. Of your heart. That which you do, that which you say, and that which you think consists in light. Therefore, it is to those entities whose outer work is healing by light that these distortions may be lessened We have used various figures to help you envision how healing with light works. We have offered you the idea of angels that sew with threads of golden light, taking just like the toe or the heel of a sock that needs darning, taking the good, hooking into it and making a line of light to the other side of that damaged place in the heel. And gradually, patiently, weaving lines of light all along that rift, that tear, pulling from the good to the good, spanning the whole with light, then weaving in and out across those beams of light from the good to the good, eventually darning, if you will, that whole. This is not precisely what the angels are doing, but it is very helpful to be able to bring down into earthly terms what angelic energies do to heal life. The one known as Sanya expressed in a conversation with this instrument some time ago that there was a time in her life when she felt that there was something happening, some kind of hole in her aura. And she gathered herself together with everything she had, and she said, "No, I will not be torn. I want to be healed." And she was. And from that day to this, many years, decades even, there has been no more hole. So, it is a matter of the will of the one who realizes that there are indeed holes blown in the energy body from surges of power that were too great for that energy body to bear. Willing the self to be available for healing. For unless the self wishes help and asks for the help, the angels can do nothing. There are nuances to this question, which would take many hours to discuss. For light is that which is denser with information and energy, not simply from third density to fourth density, but from sub-density to sub-density within third density and sub-sub-density. So that there are many, many kinds of light. And for each injury to each soul's energy body, that certain kind of light is that which is going to be needed in order to effect repair. We have suggested to this group before that those who work with Reiki energy seem to have a fairly firm grasp of the nature of spiritual healing, in that they know for sure that they are instruments. They are not producing the light. They are not directing the light. They are there as instruments to touch into the energy body, the aura of the one who is to be healed, so that that which can be done by life is affected by their offering of themselves as instruments through which the Creator may play its melodies of healing. And then you may see that in many physical illnesses, if not all, there is the initial component of damage to the light body, which, being neglected at the level of the light body, must perforce express itself within the denser chemical vehicle of the physical body. We thank each of you for these queries and for gathering in this group this evening in order to seek the truth. It has been an honor to be with you and to share your meditation. Thank you. We leave you as we found you, in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator. We are known to you as the principle of Ahur. Adonai. Adonai Vasu Barakas. As we let the light from this group go back to the one infinite Creator, let us place in that light all of our hopes and our dreams and our prayers for healing. I would especially pray the Gaia meditation prayer. Lord, help us be better stewards of you, of the beautiful planet, and help us understand and live in the ways of peace. Any other requests?